Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 529. Rav Tversky brings a Vilna Goyen on Mishlei that stresses the importance of empathy and a big insight about empathy. In English, he quotes his following from the Vilna Goyen based on Mishlei Perek Chavav, Pasuk Hey. And he says that when talking to someone who thinks differently than you, especially when that person is being irrational, enter the other person's world and answer him according to his line of reasoning. It is important to remember not to reply according to your own logic, but in a way consistent with his distorted way of thinking, in order to ensure that your communication will be accepted. He says that's an invaluable psychological insight. Especially when that person is being irrational. In the Lashon Kodesh, he says, Altane lefi sechlecha. Even in Torah, don't answer according to your logic. Elatane kefi sha'alasai. Answer him in corresponding to what he's asking you. And then he says further, the Gra Avoti Meshiv, you respond to him, Rak Kefi Ivaltoi, in corresponding to his irrationalness, Veloy Lefi Sechlecha, but not according to your own logic. Because, and this is an extremely important thing, because we think, what we think is irrational, we may unfortunately have elicited a response, you don't know what you're talking about, you're crazy. Has no help in communication. Tversky himself once told his supervisor that a patient's attitude was totally unrealistic, and the supervisor said, Tversky, you're talking logic, she's talking emotion. Which means that according to her emotional perception, she was being very realistic. We need to always remember, logic and emotion don't follow the same rules. It may sound irrational, so what you respond when you feel that something's irrational in your logical mind, you respond back, I don't see it that way, but can you help me understand why you think this is so? Now, it's interesting. A man once complained to a wise man that he was having problems at home. And the wise man answered, go home, listen to what your wife says, and come back to me in a week. The man came back to him in a week, and now the wise man said, now go back and listen to what she doesn't say. Women more than men say things what they don't mean the literal meaning for. So for example, she picks up her husband from work in the car. And she says, would you want to stop off for a bite? We need to have a little supper, out to eat out. And the husband responds, no, I just as soon eat at home. We got a lot of leftovers in the refrigerator. But he didn't hear her. Think for a second. Your wife knows very well that there's food in the refrigerator and that there's leftovers to eat. She knows. What's her question? Would you like to stop? She means, I'd like to stop off for a bite. Or we need to do this to eat supper together. It's important. She's not saying it verbally, the whole thing. But that is what she's saying. And a husband needs to read between the lines and hop that's what she's saying. So therefore, as the wise man says, it's important to hear what she doesn't say. Now, women are usually better at this. They're more intuitive. They have a Bini Yaseira. It's Gemara Nida, Memches Amid Beis. Talks about the Bini Yaseira. Bini Yaseira is the ability to make inferences. Sanhedrin Daf, Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis, Maven Dover Mitoch Dover. They sense things more than men. Now, that doesn't mean that all a woman's ideas must be accepted because of that Bini Yaseira. But they need to be given very serious consideration. They may see something, catch something that a man is unable to catch. It's not unusual that a man will realize something that he just discovered had been known to his wife much, much earlier because she sensed it already. So don't take your wife's Bini Yaseira lightly. Also, another thing husbands need to be aware of, that even if a wife does not work outside of the house, especially if she does, that makes it double taxing because she's working at home and working as a mother and working outside of the home. But even full-time mothers, especially full-time mothers, that is real work. Every bit as taxing, as demanding as a job. Avoides Perech. The Avoides Perech is that they gave the men's work to the women and the women's work to the men. So men's work were hard, back-breaking labor, making bricks, carrying heavy loads. So that Avoides Perech there makes sense. But why would a woman's work be Avoides Perech for a man? It's easier physically. But the answer is, the Gemara knows, it's anything but easy. So a husband, whether he comes home from yeshiva after learning a whole day and really learning, or a husband coming home from the office and really tired and exhausted, he needs to understand in his brain that his wife could be and very likely is equally tired and equally exhausted as much as he is. She needs rest as much as he does. He comes in, he wants to chill. She's already high-stressed, and she needs to chill too. So that's a very important thing, to understand each other's true inherent world of what they do and to respect it. Secrets very often ruin a marriage. Withholding information could destroy a marriage. Now, the idea over here, though, is one needs to be, take it very, needs to be very, very careful with this. So there are things where you have to say and you need to reveal. There are things that are, however, pertaining to other people that could be Lashon Hara or Rechilas. And on that, one needs to be careful what not to say it. You have a shayla, you ask a rav. So it's an interesting story that the sister of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asked him about a Talmud in yeshiva that was suggested as a shidduch for her daughter. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was in his house with his wife also, and his sister was there. And Rav Shlomo Zalman told his sister, he's a very fine young man. But when the sister was leaving, she told Rav Shlomo Zalman that she was going to visit another sister. And when the sister came out of that other sibling's house after that visit, Shlomo Zalman was standing outside waiting for her. And he told the sister that your man you mentioned, he's indeed a fine young man, but he's not appropriate for your daughter. So the sister asked him, why did you have to wait here to tell me that? You could have told me that when you were in your house. And Shlomo Zalman says, I couldn't, because my wife was present. I have a chiyuv to tell you because it affects your shidduch of your daughter, so I had to tell you this. But it's not negeya my wife. Am I making a negative comment about a young man which she would hear? That would be Lashon Hara. So on the Hilchos Lashon Hara, you have to be very careful. And confidentiality of secrets that someone's confided in you and it doesn't affect the marriage in any way, you have to keep to yourself and not tell your wife, not tell your husband. If, however, it will affect the marriage in any way, shape, or form, you could ask a shayla. But overall, keeping secrets is not healthy. There needs to be always an openness. There needs to be a transparency. Then he goes through decisions, the importance of making decisions, and how decisions should be a joint venture in a marriage. It's very, very important. We make countless decisions every day. And, you know, what we wear and what you're going to cook for dinner and this and whether you take a car or public transportation is. Some of them are not so significant. You need not confide to each other with every single decision. That's not healthy either. But it should be overall a joint venture. And either spouse could sign off. For example, a husband may not have an opinion of what kind of drapes to get for the living room. And he says to his wife, do whatever you want, and that's fine, you know. And if it's important to the husband, then let him share his opinion, and so on. But on issues that both spouses do have an opinion on, they need to discuss it together. And when there are differences, they should respect each other's opinion and work through to come to a decision together. To basically ask yourself, do you have all the facts? Sometimes it's hearsay, sometimes it's only partial information, sometimes you make knee-jerk decisions without knowledge of all the facts. So do you know all the facts is one healthy aspect before you make a decision together. How will your decision affect others? How will it affect the other family members? How will it affect your neighbors? How will it affect your friends? Will it be helpful to us but would cause agmas nefesh to somebody else? Then the negative may outweigh the positive. Do we exercise our right here, or do we consider the consequences? Have we investigated all options? And also, is this an emotionally charged issue? If the disagreement or the decision that has to be made and both of you feel strongly about is an emotionally charged issue, it's prone to be more biased. Therefore, the perceptions of facts and options may be distorted. So it's important to work through it to get to the truth of it by not being stubborn, by being open-minded and understanding each other's view, and when they need an outside opinion, to acknowledge, yes, this is a charged issue. Let's talk it over with a Rav or a mentor, and let's do that. It's very important also that every decision you make, when you make it, let it be tentative. Always open for reconsideration. Sometimes we're stubborn. And seeing a change of mind is, we call it being indecisive, or we call it flip-flopping. Flip-flopping is not healthy. But being inflexible, like strongly inflexible, oh, we made a decision, this is it, that's it, chak v'yayav, it's not ending, that could be just as bad as flip-flopping. It could be just as bad as being terribly indecisive to make an opinion, no, this is what we decided, and that's it. Not true. Sometimes you could rethink a decision. And sometimes rethinking a decision is wise. Try yourself living with each option. Explore when you do it together. When we choose this option, option A, how it will make us feel. Will we be happier with this option? And so on. You know, I think adding a room for a new arrival may have its advantages, but there's a debt burden there. Right? So do you weigh the new room that we need versus the debt and the pressure of that, and value each one separately. And it can't hurt to consult outsiders. Parents in a healthy way. Again, we talked about the healthy way to do it with parents, not enmeshment, but you could ask advice. Extended family or rabbis or professionals. An objective view may be enlightening. Both of you may decide it's beneficial to have that objective view. So again, understand, empathize, be aware and respect Bini Yaseira, and learn how to make decisions in a healthy way. Bracha v'atzlacha.